Welcome, one and all, to our Friday afternoon show on WILK with 29 degrees. At least the sun is out. I can say that. I guess a little bit of snow over the weekend. But what else is new? Maybe by the time all is said and done, we'll be experts at snow driving and people will realize the tires are important. I wish I had answers to these things, but I do not. So before work today, I went to school. And I saw some final projects of seniors who will soon be graduating from King's College. And I want to say that the presentations were very eye-opening to me. Two in particular, they were all good, but the two stood out to me. And it continues to explain a lot about the COVID pandemic and how it impacted our young people. And I read the paper that was attached to the presentation before I saw it today. And then I spoke to the student who gave the presentation and I said to her, you have come up with stuff that validates a lot of what I'm seeing in the world today. And now there is also a story about the mRNA vaccine and its risk to the health of people. So I can't not talk about it. I mean, it just seems that people kind of want to sweep it under the rug or pretend that nothing happened during COVID, but it's going to have an effect on people for many years to come. And I would say as time goes on, there will continue to be a look at what happened in terms of what the student wrote about. It was about learning in a time of COVID. And the student talked about a personal experience in the paper and pointed out some things to me that I still see. And I've actually been talking about them on the show for a long time. And they are a real byproducts of what COVID did to young people in terms of their ability to focus, in terms of their ability to be well mentally, in terms of their ability to have conversations with us, and in terms of the absolutely lackluster performance of our educational institutions during COVID, which I believe the shutdowns of the schools were too prolonged. The student described what it was like to be educated during COVID and at home with younger siblings who are also being educated remotely. And the student said that, and I believe this to be true, I mean, if you've ever watched young children, she was at home with her siblings and was basically watching them while her parents went to work. Imagine that. Can you imagine a classroom where you have to watch somebody else while you're being educated? That certainly is a tricky situation, to be sure. But a lot of us continued to work during COVID. I know some people did collect. I know some people were unemployed. But for the rest of the world, life did go on. And if parents have children, obviously they're going to keep working to put food on the table. So that was an aspect that I hadn't considered before. The student also talked about, you know, in the presentation and in the paper, how when you logged on to go to school, that the education that was delivered was kind of half-hearted and very mediocre. I understand those kinds of challenges, though. I mean, if you take a bunch of educators who have never taught remotely before and you tell them for the next year plus whatever, you're going to be forced to do something kind of outside of your comfort zone, and of course, something that you're not used to. And There is a term called classroom management, which I am familiar with, and and if there's anybody that taught during COVID that could call, I'd love to talk to you about it. Because the student said it was very easy to just sign in to the remote learning and then kind of scroll on your phone while you went to school, which brings me to today when I am constantly telling people at school to get off their electronic devices in class. Well, of course, if that's the behavior you've become accustomed to during this situation, then of course you're going to engage in behavior that you're used to, unless you're reprimanded and corrected. And this student said, you know, sometimes this to me was mind blowing, that sometimes in class, she just opens her laptop because it's this again. I know these are young people, but I think they have a lot to say, that it's easier to stare at a laptop screen than it is to make contact with eye contact with an instructor in the front of the room. This probably never happened when you went to school. It never happened when I went to school. Sometimes I drew on my papers or whatever. I don't think I maintained a constant level of eye contact. But to think that in this day and age, you feel more comfortable staring at a computer screen than actually making contact, eye contact with somebody is... This is a little distressing, and I'm wondering with the iPad learning that we have today, if that will have an impact in the future with students' ability to be social. Although if AI takes over, maybe this is all for naught, and AI doesn't care if you're social or not because it's AI, so it doesn't matter whether you're social or not. But I feel that we're losing our humanity in these little tiny metrics in little small ways that I'm not really thrilled about. And the student also told me that if there is somebody in your class that you'd like to be friends with and, you know, you'd like to know more, it's easier in their estimation, and this to me is crazy, to actually just follow them on social media, to become, you know, friend them on Instagram or whatever. And that's how your conversations happen, is you can like their Instagram post or whatever. I mean, there's a totally different vibe that young people are experiencing now. And it all has to do, I would say, with what they went through in COVID. And I think that there really should be a very thorough investigation into that. And recommendations for remediation on it, because I don't think that some of our skills are lost for good. I think that we can tap back into them. But then again, in a world that looks as though it's going to be dominated fairly soon by artificial intelligence, what's the point? You know, what is the point of trying to preserve what I would say is our humanity? I think we need to do it, and I think it's important. And another student did a presentation about perceptions of the news with young people. We feel this sometimes as we talk to people outside of work. Now, our work has to do with the news. So often, we follow it. I mean, we're forced to follow it. It's like being on a merry-go-round. You really can't get off. You have to stay on it, or you don't know what's happening. And people say, why don't you know that that's happening? So with us, it's almost like a constant drumbeat of information. That's what we're finding out each and every day. I read a lot. I look at a lot of stuff before I go in the air to see what is happening in the news cycle today. And we are accustomed to news. Our perception of news, however, does not match that of young people. Young people have a perception of the news, from what I saw today, that is vastly, I'm talking vastly negative. And I don't know if it's the fault of those who cover the news. When I was younger, they had an expression called if it bleeds, it leads. That would mean that stories that involve tragedy, crime, whatever, seem to be the ones that we gravitate to. Structure fires, accidents, things like that. I mean, how many times have you seen accidents on TV, fires, murders, things like that? So our view is that the news is a terribly negative thing at times. And the research the student did showed that in the future, I think we're in trouble. It makes me think that in the future, there may be a generation of people who are somewhat disengaged. And they may be disengaged because the news makes them uncomfortable. Although I said to the student, it's funny to see this because, there are slasher films that are popular with young people. There are video games that contain gory violence that are popular with people. Why are they popular with people? But they perceive the news as negative. I mean, when you go to a slasher film, you expect to see a murder, right? I mean, that's pretty much why you go. So what is exactly going on here? I mean, this is, I think, something that is food for thought. I'm wondering in the future if the dynamics will change with people over the news because of the perception of its negativity and its tune-out factor where people are like, the heck with this. I'm just going to go live in my, my own little world here. I have no need for this. I don't want to see this all the time. But we, as news people, think, yes, you do. So who's right on that one? Anyway, that's where I am starting here. There's also a story about the mRNA COVID vaccines that indeed they can cause heart damage by triggering immune cells to go on the attack, according to scientists. Now, these scientists are in Britain, and the vaccines pretty much contain the same properties. So I would say that if it's happening in Britain, it probably can have an impact in the United States. It's interesting to see that scientists are now allowed to discuss this in a way where they're not censored. More than 2,000 people in Britain suffered inflammation of the heart or heart lining following a vaccination with young men particularly vulnerable. The majority of cardiac problems were caused by the mRNA vaccine, such as the ones that were put out by Pfizer and Moderna, which delivered a blueprint of the COVID spike protein to cells. Now, Stanford University has found that the immune system can lock on to the foreign RNA from the vaccine, which triggers a fierce response and in some cases can inflame heart cells. It's likely to be a problem with other vaccines as well. So I would say, knowing what we know, again, just like when we talked about the hepatitis shots last week for the newborns, I mean, this is information that you can use in any way that you want to use. I mean, you could say, all right, thank you for telling me. I'm going to have a booster or whatever. But I would say it should be certainly a concern to people. And we have seen in the past that some vaccines have some real side effects to them. So I would say just beware. 570-883-0098. By the way, it's Friday. You can talk about whatever you want. So if this is not your cup of tea, my goodness, join the show at any point and offer what you have to offer. Okay. We'll talk about the Dow. Okay. Very good news on the Dow today. Epstein file news. We'll get to that. And some other things as well. Cities are rejecting AI data centers. And now the government is going to do something that I think overrules a lot of what local zoning has to say about this stuff. Should the federal government be able to form a quote-unquote litigation team to fight people who don't want these things? Boy, I don't like this idea at all. Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, here comes your break. We'll have some Christmas tunes today. Stay tuned. One of my favorite Christmas songs of all time, from Meet Me in St. Louis, the motion picture that everybody should watch at Christmas time. Originally sung, of course, by Judy Garland in that movie. Although originally, I'm not sure, maybe somebody else did it first, but her version is top-notch and very melancholy. And then, of course, that is the Pretenders redoing it. And since I love them, it's good to hear it. 1226 WILK, the Dow Jones Industrial Average today hit a new all-time intraday record. Okay, so the market, of course, is open for several more hours. But this is during the day. Now, there is a possibility of perhaps a closing record. In fact, December 11th, yesterday, the Dow closed at a record high of 48,704. Okay, so that was up 1.3% after the Fed announced that quarter point rate cut. If you were paying attention, I believe that happened during our show on Wednesday. Okay. And now we have the intraday high of 48,704. And there are certain financial institutions, healthcare, IBM. Always surprised to see IBM is still vital, because they really did roll with the punches. Caterpillar seeing strength, offsetting some of the what they call the tech wobbles. So how are you feeling about this? I mean, we are a couple weeks away from the end of the fourth quarter in the stock market, and we have an intraday record high, which has followed a close yesterday with a record high. Are you still you still involved in this? Are you still thinking that this can continue? I would say that there is certainly a lot of enthusiasm in the market right now. And for those of you who are of any age, I mean, of any age, I would always encourage younger people to get involved with the market and to put money away, because they draw it out of your check for your 401k plan before you touch it. And that gives you, I would say, the opportunity to do some investing here. Now, we know trees don't grow to the sky. I got it. But at the same time, it seems like there are things that are happening that give people confidence in the days to come. And I've said it many times on the show. I do root for all Americans to succeed. I don't want anybody to feel that they are trapped, that they are stuck, that better days would never be ahead. Although sometimes I know some of you feel that way. It's nice to see that your investments, not everybody has them. I get that too. Although I would suggest that people put a little bit away every week, even if it's $5 or $10 for your future. But anybody on the stock market, how are you feeling about this? I know it is something that we talk about as a measure of economic success. Of course, you can't buy gasoline with your 401k and all that stuff. But are you feeling good about it as we go into next year? 570-883-0098. You can tell me. And we'll take a break right now. Well, on the other side, we'll check out the weather, a little bit of snow in the forecast for the weekend. Stay tuned. Why, it's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from meteorologist Joe Snedeker. Partly sunny for the rest of our Friday with a 30. Increasing clouds tonight with a 20. Saturday, cloudy with a chance of late day snow showers and a 32. Cloudy on Sunday with morning flurries and a 23. So late day snow showers tomorrow seems to be the thing of concern, if you care. If not, carry on. Get your things done. We have 29 at WILK on a Friday here, the 12th day of December. 570-883-0098 if you'd like to talk about whatever on the show. I would certainly give you the latitude to do so. We talked a little bit about COVID at the beginning of the show because I still think that that is an ongoing concern. And I think that we need to be aware that health-wise and education-wise, if we ever get socked with something like this again, we should learn lessons from what happened this time. We talked about the Dow Jones setting a record today, intraday, not at the close at this point. Yesterday was the close record, so things still looking pretty rosy in terms of Wall Street. Somebody wrote in, I recommend a total stock market index fund. You know, that's a good idea because then it moves with the market. If you, I guess, do individual investing, you kind of live by the sword and die by the sword if you put stuff together. I have a mix of all these things because I like to do my own thing. And then we have the company that manages our 401ks for us here. And I have other things as well. And some of it I do engage in as a self-determination exercise. And I had some really lousy ones that I got rid of at the start of the year. And I hooked on to some that, honestly, this is so funny because it's a terrible way to invest. But I watch Fox Business, and sometimes if there is a commercial for something that I think is intriguing, I'll buy that. I know, crazy, right? But so far it worked out. This is like when my grandmother was alive and she picked the horses with the pretty names at the racetrack and did very well. So in terms of a strategy, that's kind of like the money I can afford to lose. If I lose it, I won't cry. I'll just know in my heart of hearts that I gave it the old college try. But I sometimes do learn by watching a financial television. And I'm not sure how those guys are tied to anything else. Because sometimes I wonder when I see these guys on financial television, if they're actually salespeople. I'm not sure. Sometimes what they say makes sense to me. And other times, it's a total mystery. This is Joe from Berwick. Hi, Joe.
Oh, hello, Sue. You know, thanks for having me on. Sure. I wanted to pose a follow-up question to a topic you had yesterday. You were talking about the origins of the song Jingle Bells.
Right.
And that deep well of intellectual thought known as The View had educated us on it.
Wait, no, that was Joy Reid. She educated us on it. She's the well of intellectual prowess, Joe, that we went to yesterday.
Okay, so I guess what I've got to follow up then, Sue, are the dogs racist? You know, the dogs who come on and bark jingle bells for us every year on the radio, are they racist and are they aware of their racism or do they need to be educated?
Well, I'm sure there could be some federal funding that is put aside to give them some sort of sensitivity training, Joe. Absolutely. Maybe, I don't know, you know, 17, 18 million bucks. So what do you think?
Yeah, that's probably what it would take, and in the end, they'd get nowhere. The dogs would just be as insensitive and clueless as they were from the start. But it's absolutely amazing. But I just I wanted to pose that question here to you going into the weekend, and wish you a good one.
All right, Joe, I'm glad that you are a font of intellectual thinking.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Sue, just watch a Nancy Pelosi, what she's trading in and out of. You'll be able to buy the station by the end of next year. Oh, no, I wouldn't want this headache. Mm-mm. I already had to take migraine medicine today. I wouldn't want to do it every day. But there are, this person is right, by the way. There is a site called Unusual Whales that tells you about the most prolific congressional traders. And you can do it too. I mean, if you want, I wonder what it would be like to follow some of them. Somebody said the S&P 500 is a better indicator of the economy than the Dow. The Dow is comprised of less than 100 expensive stocks, whereas S&P is comprised of, you guessed it, 500 stocks showing a broader market. That's good too. So thank you all for your information here. We appreciate it. And, you know, take what you want and leave the rest, as they say. This is Joe of Kingston. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Sue. I wanted to make a comment about the children and the news. And I think that a lot of it has to do with, I mean, if you just look, I mean, do you ever remember a point in your life when news didn't seem to be biased? And it just gave you the news?
The spotlighting, the highlighting, the constant drumbeat of news bias, Joe, came along much later from when I started to watch it.
Right.
So
that's what I'm remembering as a child, you know, whether it was Tom Brokaw or Walter Cronkite or Peter Jennings.
Yeah.
They all seem to be cut and dry, didn't seem to give you tons and tons of editorial. It was just, these are the stories, and this is what's happening, and then we kind of took from it, you know, and put our own, and then you'd talk about it. And I think that the kids today are just like, I don't want to have to deal with having to go through all the muck and mire of flipping from channel to channel and seeing three different stories on the same exact story.
Well, and the kids today, Joe, they don't get their news from broadcast television. They get their news from social media.
Right. And that's what makes it even worse, is because now you're talking influencers that have no background, have no training, have no anything, and they're just spouting. And now you have millions of children following them and leaning on their every word. And I don't know. I don't know where we're headed with all of that. It scares me a little bit, but at the same time, it's change, and it's something we're going to have to deal with, because it's not going to go back.
No.
We're just going to keep moving forward, but we need to be able to rein in the speculation is just it's out of hand.
Well, I don't know if there'll be a forced obsolescence of the traditional media. This could happen,
right.
And then it will be the Wild West, and you will take what you want out of the social media feed, the content. I can see a day when that actually happens because of what I saw today, which is that young people believe the news is negative, and they yep. believe that it's something that they're tuning away from, and maybe social media influences are telling them something entirely different about the world. And I hate to be like this, because you might disagree with me on it, but the mayor-elect of New York City was tenacious on TikTok. I know this because students told me at school, and the presentations that he was giving on TikTok to young people made his candidacy successful.
Right. No, and I mean, that's it goes across the board. I mean, Trump leaned hard on social media, and it worked for him. So, I mean, there's definitely a bracket for that. But at the same time, you know, the whole alternative fact thing that's happening in this country is out of this. It's out of hand. Like, it's off the chain, and there's nothing we can do about it because, you know, it's like the toothpaste is out of the tube. You know, it's that same thought process. It's just, what are we going to do when we're faced with facts? And there's always some people that say, but that's not true.
Right, right. Alternative facts, right?
Remember
when that came into our purview? Yeah, that was a while ago. It was a press secretary for one of the presidents, and I can't remember which one it was, but they introduced us to the wide world of alternative facts. And all I could do is I shake my head.
Right, absolutely. I mean, a fact is a fact, and the fact is the truth. And there is no alternative truth. The truth is the truth, no matter what. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Not
now,
anymore.
Science, right? Right. Science can run its course, and we can find out, hey, Pluto isn't a planet. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You know, maybe we need to redesignate, whatever. Maybe COVID vaccines did work. Maybe they didn't. Maybe we can look back and say, okay, this is where the problems were. Were we trying to do the best we could with what we had? It seems to me like we did, and it seems to me like it worked. I mean, maybe there are some people out there that say, didn't work for me, but as a whole, all of us walking around are proof that it still worked.
All right, and so, on that, we have to go because we are way over break, and I'm sure you heard me say this before, that I have to try to mind my clock so I could keep my J-O-B. Anyway, here's your break on WILK. Somebody texted me that they wanted to hear this song by Greg Lake. And you know what? It was ready to pop up. If only I could nail the lottery numbers like this, we'd all be in better shape, right? That one is one of my favorites, too, because it's from a time in my life when I was young. And for some of you, that's where your core memories form at Christmas. But I always thought this was a bomber of Christmas songs. It's at 12:48 at WILK. We have the Bloom coming up. Bill from Hazleton writes in, when it comes to finances and money, I was not nearly as smart in my younger days, and Bill adds, or middle age, as I should have been. As Rod Stewart sang, I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger. And I was very familiar with that song, but I did not know until a couple weeks ago that it's called Ooh La La. Isn't that funny? There's a lot of songs that if I played them for you, you probably wouldn't know their names. As far as news being biased, somebody else wrote in, you might as well tell your caller, we just didn't have an alternative then. We didn't know they were biased. Well, that could be true. Kellyanne Conway is responsible for the phrase alternative facts. And that was breathtaking. Somebody else, Viva La TikTok, really? We're going to find out. I'm telling you, we're going to find out that it is not all that it's cracked up to be. Trust me on this. And I know people my age, they're like, oh, you must be on TikTok. Oh, you have to follow this. No, absolutely not. I'm fine over here in the Luddite world. Anyway, it is almost 12:50, 570-883-0098. If you'd like to join the show on WILK, you could talk about whatever you want, but here's your Bloom first. First, that was done under the thumb of Phil Spector with Darlene Love, who has sung some of the most iconic Christmas songs of all time. And she is a staple on late night to television. Not that I'm awake, but I understand that she does Baby Please Come Home on late night television. Dave Letterman used to have her on to do it. And she's amazing. She has a set of pipes on her, which is great. So today, two, three Christmas carols for the people. The city of Wilkes-Barre has given you a great Christmas present starting today. The mayor announcing in a press release that Horton Street has reopened to traffic. Hallelujah! Now we can get to our pizza place. Not that we couldn't before, but man, that little space, that Horton Street, like Jake's shaking his, right, Jake? The pizza. We need it. That's by our houses. So well, we're down there a lot. And the frustration of trying to not use Horton Street was problematic for many of us. And that was closed for a very long time. Mayor Brown, thanks you for your continued patience. He should buy us pizzas this afternoon. He should go down to Jerry's, buy 100 pizzas, and hand them out of the window of Jerry's.
Deal.
Should we go?
Absolutely.
Come on, Mayor Brown. We'd never get anywhere near it because it would be closed by traffic, right?
Oh, yeah.
How frustrating was it to not have that little piece of road open?
it's crazy because, I mean, Kelly and I, we live in Wilkes-Barre, so obviously it's very, very close by. And this happened, I believe, I don't think it was late June. I think it was early July, if I remember correctly. And, of course, with my parents being over in Anticoke, and there was always, you know, you would go down Suey, and you would turn that way, and then having to do all the detours. And, I mean, it was frustrating, to say the least. And I know the last couple of weeks how they were getting close,
yeah,
and then kept getting put off, because I think it was right around Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, it was supposed to be reopened, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I was going to meet up with two of my best friends, Timmy and Sean. We were going to watch some of the games down at Riverside, and I was like, oh, crap, I forgot that it's all blocked off. So I had to take another detour to get to Riverside. So it's, just a small little stretch like that. Feels good to be back to normal.
And you know what? It's a small victory, but it's a victory that we'll take, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's important to the two of us. So there you go. Here's Luciano. Hi, Luciano.
Yes, Sue. Thank you. Hola, ¿cómo está? You like to speak Spanish sometimes. But let me ask you two questions, and I'll hang up or I'll stay on. I'm not going to interrupt you. I'm fascinated by. You speak very well, extremely well. I'm just an associate's degree graduate. But I got two questions. In terms of migration, Tom Holden says, and Pam Bundy says, as of 2026 of January, February, they already recruited up to 16,000 new ICE agents. I say that because do you feel that what Pam Bundy and Tom Holden and others in the Donald Trump's administration has been unfair to the migrants or illegal population that has invaded this country? And I'll be quiet and listen to you.
Do I feel that it's unfair that they've beefed up their enforcement?
No, that's a warning sign that they're going to uppity double with 16 plus.
I don't understand the question.
The question is this: Do you think that the administration and the Republicans have every right to deport the 10 plus million illegal migrants that have invaded this country in the past 5 years when Joe Biden was in office?
It's a pipe dream, Luciano. That's not going to happen.
Well, over 2.5 million have self-deported. So that's excellent, because Donald Trump is making it extremely difficult for them to stay here. And that's a plus. But up to 2 million have I've watched the Spanish noticias en español. Up to 2 million have gone to other Latin American countries. And yes, he's deported 700,000. But to what I'm saying to you. And
Luciano, we have to
go. It's a crime.
We have to go. I please just form the question like a question and make it understandable. That's all I ask. And then I would be happy to answer it. 10 million deported. That's not happening. So I guess that's how I would answer that. Here comes your news.